जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रगाचार्य अष्टोदर सतीश डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग I'll be taking verse 10, 46, 46. चाहे तो निकाल के रखते ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरों चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 46, verse number 46. उद्गायितानाम अरविंदलोचनम् व्रजांगनानाम दिव्य अस्पर्श ध्वनिः ददन्नश्च निर्मनन्तो शब्दमिश्रितो निरसस्ते येन दिशाम् अमङ्गलम् उद्गायितानाम् अरविन्दलोचनम् व्रजांगनानां दिव्यम् अस्पर्शध्वनिः ददानश्च निर्मनन्थना शब्दमिश्रितो निरसस्ते येन दिशाम् अमङ्गलम्
दद्नश्च निर्मन्थन शब्दमिश्रितो निरस्यते येन दिशामङ्गलम्
उद्गायतीनाम् अरविन्दलोचनम् ఉద్వాయదానారవిందలోచనం
జంగనానాం దివమస్పృశధ్వనిః
వృజవరాంగనానాం దివమస్పృశధ్వనిః
దధ్నశ్చ నిర్మంథనశబ్దమిశ్రితో
దశ్యతే
యేన దిశామమంగళం
ఉద్గాయితానామరవిందలోచనం
వ్రజాంగనానాదివమస్పృశధ్వనిః తద్నశ్చ నిర్మంథనశబ్దమిశ్రితో నిరశ్యతేన దిశామమంగళం ఉద్గైతనాం. Who were loudly singing, Arvinda, like lotuses, Lochanam, about the Lord, whose eyes, Vrajangananam, of the woman of Vraja, Divam, the sky, Asprashad, touch, Dhani, the reverberations, Dhanana, Dagna, of the curds, Cha, and Nirmanthana, of the churning, Shabda, with the sound, Mishrita, mixed, Nirastaste, is dispelled, yena, by which disham, of all directions, amangalam, the inauspiciousness. As the ladies of Vraja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascended to the sky and dissipated all inauspiciousness in every direction. Purport. The gopis were absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and were thus feeling his presence. Therefore, they could joyfully sing. ఓం అజ్ఞానత్తిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనాశలాకయా తమ్మేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం వేన భూతలే తదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం. శ్రీగొరుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానోసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్రశ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. So we are reading this verse in which the morning time in Vraj is described. That the gopis were singing songs about glorification of Lord Krishna, and at the same time they were doing their daily work of churning the butter. And the glorification of Krishna's song ascended to the sky and dissipated all inauspiciousness in every direction. So what we have to understand is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have got access to this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's confidential pastimes are described. It requires a qualification to understand these pastimes. Otherwise, one can read, who has ability to read and write, can read these pastimes, but will not understand anything. And if you see how Srila Prabhupada gave this highest knowledge, and he presented it in a very easy way, even for newcomers. Because in Vedic literature, we will find the description about science of loving the Supreme Lord. No other religion or the scriptures has got such a clear understanding of love of Godhead. So in Vedic literature, you will find that there is a complete explanation about how we should get attracted towards the Supreme Lord. Here in this chapter, it is being described that how gopis were suffering in separation, but still that suffering was also giving them bliss because they were constantly remembering the Supreme Lord. So we see when Srila Prabhupada began the movement, he wrote this Krishna book, and then he got it printed through the generous donation of George Harrison, and then he started distributing this book also. So now the question may come that how we are freely distributing this Krishna book in which Krishna's pastimes are described. But the way Srila Prabhupada described this pastime, that in between he inserted all the required philosophy so that the reader is protected. He knows that Krishna is a divine personality, gopis are divine personalities, and love between them is a divine love, and it is completely different from what we experience in this mundane world. So that's how, like, along with Tattva, all these confidential pastimes are given. And that is why we find by reading this, the reader will not fall down. Rather, he will turn towards Bhagavad Gita, he will turn towards Tattva, and then understand the Tattva and starts continuation of reading his Krishna's pastimes. So this is what always we have to understand, that this is what exactly differentiates Srila Prabhupada from many of the Bhagavad Kathakars. Because many Bhagavad Kathakars simply give the description of Krishna's stories, but without philosophy. There are many people who are born and raised in Vaishnava traditions, and all their childhood heard the different Bhagavad Saptahas, and when they heard Srila Prabhupada's presentations, and when they read Krishna book, the first time they read that this material world is a place of misery. And that's what they say, like, this is what, like, we attended so many Bhagavad Saptas in our childhood, but never ever we got the real understanding of the material world, and how this is a place of misery, and material body will never give us permanent happiness. So this is how we have to understand the Srila Prabhupada's great contribution, that even though he is giving us such a great, highest confidential pastimes for us to read, but he is giving along with this tattva so that we will be easily understanding. Because this point has to be understood properly, because many times people feel that we can sit and read Krishna's highest pastimes, and what is the need for us to do any other services or activities? Or they think that this is the highest, just relishing the Krishna's pastimes. But what we have to understand is, you need proper qualification to understand. And proper qualification comes through rendering service unto the spiritual master. It's just like if you want to take the example, say student is in 10th standard, and if you give him mathematics of the master's degree, he may be able to read something of that, but he will not understand anything. So like that, nowadays lot of information is available. Previously we used to look for the hard copies books, but now there are so many soft copies available of various Vaishnava literatures, which is very high. Gita Govind is also available, Govind Lilamrut is also available. But when you try to read it, we are not able to understand it properly. Only when you have a proper qualification, then you can release those pastimes. So we have to wait till we become qualified. Just because we have capacity to read, we may just go through that pastime but not understand much from that. So what we have to understand is, we have to wholeheartedly take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Many times people are scared of taking shelter at the Krishna's lotus feet, because they know that Krishna is also described as Hari, who actually removes all the material impediments on the path of bhakti. So whenever Krishna sees that someone is very sincere but he has some material attachments, then Krishna, what does he do? He shows a special mercy by removing that attachment. And he does that only for the sincere devotee. He doesn't do it for everyone. And that's why many times people are scared of worshipping Lord Krishna, and then they go to worship the demigods. Now if you see Srila Prabhupada, he was actually destined to become one of the richest men of India. And then Prabhupada used to say that I had a personal argument with Krishna when he was a householder. Because Srila Prabhupada, on the order of his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he wants to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Prabhupada's idea was, so I will do my business, collect lot of Lakshmi, and then execute the order of my spiritual master. But Krishna wanted it to do it pennilessly. And eventually Krishna won the argument. So this is what we have to understand. Like, if you just accept Krishna consciousness as the official religion, that it may not benefit us so much. But if we actually surrender and immerse ourselves in the different aspects of devotional service, performance of different aspects of devotional service, then we can relish it. So what happens is, actually people are afraid of Krishna, but they should be afraid of Krishna's energy, Maya. Because Maya is something which people like to befriend with, they like to enjoy with. But that's what will degrade us. Whereas Krishna is a loving father. Though it may appear that there are some material impediments or some difficulties, but eventually he will remove all the impurities and give us pure love of Godhead. And we have so much confidence on Maya, on the material energies, our mind. Actually, our material material body, material mind will keep on changing in different species and in different bodies. So the body will never remain with us, whereas Krishna is with us in all forms of life as a Paramatma. So the person who is actually our well-wisher, we keep distance from that. And a person who cannot actually help Maya, we befriend it. So that's what is the illusion of a living entity. There is one example given. Always there was a nice couple in New Zealand, and they had that time a 12 years old daughter. So daughter, that family became devotee when the daughter was almost like 1 year old. So all her childhood, it was related with Krishna's past, celebrating Krishna's festivals and visiting temples. So 12 years means it's the beginning of teenager. So she started mixing with other girls, and she was thinking like, no, Maya is so attractive, why can't we do these things, why can't we do that thing? And then somehow that family came to Vrindavan and went to every temple. And every temple, as usual, they prayed to Krishna that please give us pure devotional service. And then after the yatra was over, they went back to New Zealand. So New Zealand, in the temple premises, there is a small lake. And as she was swimming in that lake, she hit her neck on the big rock. And after that moment, like, she completely lost all the sensation below the neck. And what happens after that is like this, all the sense gratification plans of the girl as well as the parents were completely destroyed. And then parents always had to take care of their daughter, who was not able to do anything on her own. But then what happened is, after this moment, she became very sincere in devotional service. And her consciousness became like, I thank Krishna, because otherwise I would have gone in Maya and would have wasted my time. And she started spending time in chanting, started spending time in hearing. In fact, she used to go on wheelchair for book distribution. And many times the rich people would stop and ask her a question that, where did you get such kind of determination? So this is how, these are the activities of Lord Krishna. If you pray sincerely, he will take away all the material impediments and award pure devotional service to us. But the problem that happens is, we are afraid of praying like this. So now the Hari means he will also relieve this spiritual anguish of superior devotees. That means here the gopis are feeling separation. But this anguish is also bliss. A relief of this anguish is like when there is a separation, opposite of separation is a meeting. So when the beloved and belover meets, when they are meeting, they also enjoy. And when they are away from each other, that time also they enjoy. And you will find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was relishing all these kinds of feelings. So as we were discussing about Uddhava, so he comes to Vrindavan, he meets Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj first asked about the Vasudev, and then he was saying like the good Krishna is dead. And then all the Yadus, they are free. They must be now performing proper devotional service. And then he starts inquiring, does Krishna remember us? Actually, Krishna has sent Uddhava to convey to them that yes, I remember them very well. But Nanda Maharaj was thinking that will I ever get chance to see his face at least once? So in this mode of separation, Nanda Maharaj was staying. And then what Uddhava notices, that what is the impact of Krishna's pastimes on one's consciousness? He sees that Nanda Maharaj is completely thinking about Krishna, smaranam, and his consciousness, and he is completely immersed into that. So Uddhava could understand the Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, how they are so completely surrendered and totally thinking about pleasure of Krishna and nothing else. And then as Nanda Maharaj starts explaining to him that this is the place he performed this pastime, and then that another place he performed that pastime. So like that he gives the list of all the pastimes. So Uddhava also could hear all the pastimes, and he could see the holy places of Vrindavan. And he could understand that how by visiting a Vrindavan, what effect will be there on the consciousness of people. They will be always thinking about Krishna performed Leela here, he Krishna performed that Leela there. And in Krishna book, all these Leelas are narrated. So as we keep on regularly reading Krishna book, we also get a tour of all the places of Vrindavan, and then we hear all the pastimes of Vrindavan. So this, in that explanations, as like they were discussing, so Nanda Maharaj understands, yes, like I remember that Garga Muni, when he was performing the Namkaran ceremony, and that time he said, actually he did not say openly, but he just gave the hint that your son is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he appeared in different colors. He was in white, red, yellow colors, and now he's in blackish. And he also came in different incarnations. And then Nanda Maharaj himself sees that how Krishna is performing extraordinary things. He lifted Govardhan Hill, and he is such a delicate, but he killed the huge wrestlers. Then there was a huge bow of Kamsa that was also was broken. At the same time, he killed so many demons in Vrindavan. But because of his intense love in the heart, what he remembered is Garga Muni said everything, but he began the statement saying, your son is like this. So what Nanda Maharaj does is, Nanda Maharaj forgets what he said after that. He says like, Garga Muni said your son, so he is my son. And then he just forgets about his the divine aspect of it. So this is what the Param Anurag Bhava of Nanda and Yashoda has for Krishna. And Uddhava could clearly feel that Nanda and Yashoda, they are in the highest ecstasy. So even though externally it is appearing that they are in anguish, but they are experiencing such a high divine ecstasy, remaining in that bhava. So we find that Uddhava is a Dwarka devotee, but is allowed to enter to Vrindavan by the mercy of Krishna. And then he was able to behold all the intimate pastimes of Vraj. He could experience the intimate love the Vrajavasis has for Krishna. And then Uddhava starts praising Nanda and Yashoda that you have such a great fortune that Krishna performs so many pastimes in your house. And then he was explaining that you are the most praiseworthy persons in the whole world. So actually, devotee should be always eager to praise others and not like to be praised by the other people. So here Uddhava was wholeheartedly praising Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda about their great fortune. And as he was instructed by Lord Krishna, he was explaining to Nanda and Yashoda that in order to relieve your distress, he starts teaching the science of Bhagavad Dharma from Bhagavad Gita. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Cha Mai Pashyati. That for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So this kind of things he started telling to Nanda and Yashoda and started giving him assurance that definitely Krishna is going to come back very soon. And this is how he was discussing. So as Uddhava was discussing with them, so he was increasing also their loving feelings. And then at the same time, he was learning himself about the ecstasy relish by the resident of Vrindavan. So like that, then the whole night goes on discussing about Krishna's pastime, and the morning comes. So in this morning, the whole description is given of the morning, which the verse which we read. So we can say that everything about the spiritual world is presented in Krishna book. And that reading Krishna book, it can take us to the highest level of the spiritual understanding. So the activities of the gopis were described in Krishna book is like they rose early in the morning and then performed the Mangalarti. And while they were doing all their morning work, it was done in the lamp. That means they were awake much before the sunrise. Because once there is a sunrise, you don't need lamps to work in your homes. So well before sunrise, they were awake and they performed their Mangalartis, and then they were churning the butter, and the lamps reflected the light on their ornaments, and the ornaments also glowed very brightly. And as they were churning the butter, the churning rods, their arms, ears, bangles, everything was moving in rhythm. And then as they were churning the butter, they were constantly singing the glories of Krishna. So as the verse clearly describes that everywhere the gopis were there in different houses. So Vraj is very big, 84 kroshas. So in that huge area, so many houses, and all houses in the morning were singing the songs of Krishna. So you will find this is the exactly the spiritual culture. This is exactly the Vedic culture of India. Now if you go to any ancient temple, you will find that the local Dhamvasis, the morning always visit the temple. If you go to Jaipur, you will find so many people are in the morning, come regularly for generations together to attend the aarti ceremony in the temple. If you go to Dakor also, you will find that morning, that particular aarti time, the temple will be full packed. And as soon as aarti is over, then people will go performing their daily works. So the whole culture was such that sometimes the ladies may not be able to read and write, but they learnt from their mothers all the devotional songs, and all the devotional songs had a deep, deep meanings. So whether the ladies were making garlands, if you go to Udupi temple and others, you will find like the ladies are making garlands and at the same time they are singing also glorification of the Lord. Or somebody just goes for plucking the flowers. So those who go for plucking flowers, they also sing beautiful songs. We have seen in Jagannath, Lord Jagannath's pastimes, that young girls would go and pluck the flowers for Jagannath and sweetly sing the Git Govind. And to hear that, the Lord himself would go into the fields to listen to that. So like that, whether you are cooking for Krishna or if you go to Vrindavan, I don't know whether nowadays that is there, but it may be there. But I remember in early 90s when we were there in Vrindavan, evening time if you go, night time, all the temples you will hear the beautiful song of Krishna being put to the bed. And the night time, if you sleep in Vrindavan, everywhere you will constantly hear the chanting going on. Nowadays also still there, but previously it was such a beautiful that every activity you do, you see the Brajavasis or local Dhamvasis were doing. It was always connected with singing the glories of the Lord, whether you are stitching the dress for the Lord or doing anything. The beautiful songs were sang. And practically all over the India, this was the situation. The local people would sing nicely about the glories of the Lord. And that's how the day would begin, with connection with the Supreme Lord and thinking and remembrance of the Supreme Lord. So what Vrajavasis would do daily in the morning, that they would go to the house of Nanda and Yashoda. So when they would see Nanda and Yashoda, they would get pacified. And Nanda, Yashoda, when they would see the gopis and gopas, they would also get some solace of seeing Krishna's friends. So this is how they would, this was their daily activities of visiting. So this day when they came to see the house of Nanda Maharaj, they saw the golden chariot covered with the dust. It was there right in front of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda's house. So then they started thinking whether Akrura has come back again. Now, what more pain he can give it to us? Because he already killed us by taking Krishna away on the order of Kamsa. So what more he can do? And then they started speaking very bitterly about it. So actually they say like, now his Akrura, his master was Kamsa, now he's died. So whether he wants to offer our flesh as oblation on his fire. So when person becomes disturbed, then he speaks very heavy words. If you find that the gopis are such a elevated devotees, such a sensitive in their dealings and highly cultured, but when the mind is upset, then such a heavy thing comes out. And as they were talking amongst themselves like this, suddenly Uddhava comes on the scene. Now the gopi also thought like, no, what we are seeing he heard. And what Uddhava does is he just acts as if he did not hear what they were saying. And then gopis observed his bodily features, that he has such a nice eyes like a lotus, and all his bodily feature appears that as Krishna. So they understand that he has almost attained the Swarup Siddhi, having almost in the same form of Lord Krishna. So he says that he has the same beautiful face, same beautiful smiles, long nose, long arms. At the same time his dress is also the same he is wearing the yellow dhoti, at the same time he is wearing the lotus garland used by Lord Krishna, and he is wearing beautiful earrings, and because of that earrings the glow is coming on his face. So all these things they were saying it, and then immediately they understood that Krishna has some message for us. He is messenger of Krishna, and why he has come here, he must have brought some message for us. So they immediately take him to the secluded place to hear the message with complete concentration. Where did this lila took place? Near Uddhav Kari. That's the place. We have Uddhav Kari here? No. In the year. Huh? Yeah.
That is our Lakshmi Narayan's Kari is over there.
So that's the place once Maharaj took us to Uddhav Kari. And
late evening.
I was not there in that yatra. But it was a historic yatra which all the devotees remember, because there was some rain in that place. Uddhav Kari is like sort of like those days was quite a good forest kind of thing was there, and there were a lot of thorny bushes were there. And the place where you had to go, they had to walk through the road, and the road was filled with the water. Now if the road is filled with the water, how you'll know like what's below? So practically all the devotees got so many thorns in their feet, and in the dark night they reached at that place, and then Maharaj gave a beautiful narration of Uddhava's pastimes, and then all devotees came back. Like amongst the yatras, there are a few memorable places they remember. Is one is this Uddhav visit to Uddhav Kari's. Govind Prabhu and others will tell you the exact narration that how everybody went through that. And so this is like
98,
because I missed quite a few yatras. When I came to management, then I regularly could attend, but before that I missed many. Stay back list, somebody has to stay back. So that particular yatra I was in stay back list. And so this is so they took him to that place, secluded place, because it's like they knew that this is a confidential discussion, so they just can't discuss all these things either on the road or somebody's house. So they just take him to the secluded spot where they can discuss all these pastimes. At the same time, they also wanted to make sure that the similar mood people are together, because if there are some people who are a dissimilar mood, then you cannot open your heart and freely discuss these things. So that's why it is very essential, like na, whenever sometimes we are discussing some things, or sometimes we are performing some singing and all that, if the people who are having a same mood, if they are together, then you relish that atmosphere. So then gopis came from so many different places, and they surrounded him. They gave him a proper asana, then they did his foot washing also. And they knew that he is the person, he has taken total surrender of lotus feet of Krishna. And because of that, like he has also got good qualities. So he was just like a pillow of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. And this is how they knew that he is very dear to him. And as the discussions started, the gopis started making with different accusations. So actually accusation and blaming is a part of transcendental love. We can see there's some description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also there. And these are all the real aspects of love of Krishna. So actually when gopis give some accusation or blame Krishna, actually it gives a pleasure to Krishna. Because gopis will not do anything that will not give pleasure to Lord Krishna. And they are expert in understanding, adopting different moods, so that will increase the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So they started accusing Krishna in front of Uddhavas. And then they explained they referred Krishna as the husband of goddess of fortune. So indirectly they are saying in Mathura the Krishna will be with goddess of fortune, so he will enjoy with her. So how he will remember we are the simple cowherd women? So where is the possibility he will now remember us? And then gopis started saying, we know who you are. We don't have to ask you who you are. We understand that you are the follower of Yadu, King Krishna. And then actually they started saying that Krishna was a cowherd, that is his original this thing, that's his root. And now he has gone to Mathura and now he is identifying himself as Yadus. And then he has got a big post. So that is natural, the person is such a big post, so how he will come to meet? So he will send some messengers to get his work done. And that's how you have come here. And then he said, you have come to actually pacify us? It's not you have come to actually pacify the Nanda and Yashoda. They are his father and mothers. And actually what they were thinking, that where is the possibility that Krishna will remember us? But at least he should remember his father and mother. And then they say if somebody forgets father and mother, then the whole society criticizes that person. Looks, he is such a cruel or hard-hearted that he doesn't even take care of his own father and mother. So in order to save himself from that criticism, he has sent a messenger to actually take care of his father and mother and not us. And then they start saying it is not so easy to forget one's father and mother. Then they gave an example that even if somebody takes sannyas, for a sannyasi also, it is not easy to forget one's father and mother. We have seen in case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, after taking sannyas he came and met Mother Sachi. Then afterwards also, then he had sent Sarup Damodar Goswami to, Damodar Pandit to go and actually look after his mother. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a sannyasi first. He also remembered his mother at my time of her departure. And then he made some arrangements so that he can pay back some debts to his mother. So what they were indicating, that look how Krishna is so renounced, that for the biggest renounces it's difficult to forget his father and mother, and for Krishna he easily forgot father and mother. Actually you have to do lot of hard work to forget someone, but still he is such a great renunciate that he completely forgot about his father and mother. Even though he is staying so close, still he doesn't visit. So actually they were praising Krishna's renunciation, but they sarcastically criticizing him. And then they were mentioning how that they gave the example of a bee. A bee goes to different flowers, so it sucks the honey from flower and then it goes and sits on another flower. Just like they gave the example of a man enjoys one woman, and even though she is still ready, still he will leave the and go it for another one. So then they give the whole list of the incidences. They says like the prostitute who abandons the client, who has no money. And then the citizens, when they see the king is not competent enough, he will not protect us, so the citizens also abandon the king. The students, after learning from their teachers, then they forget about the teachers. At the same time, a priest, as soon as he gets the dakshina, he leaves for another place of yajna. The birds, as soon as the tree stops giving the fruits, they will go to some other place. The guest, after taking the dinner, once is satisfied, he also leaves that place. The animals also give up the forest when it's burnt in the fire. And similarly, the man also gives up a woman after enjoying her, even though that woman is still attached to him. So what Jiva Goswami writes, that relationship, it is based on dharma, then it will remain for long. It will be lasting relationship. But if these relationships are based on some local customs, then it is temporary and it will not last for long. So gopis are giving this long list to make their point. At the same time, they started crying also. They completely forgot about what duties that they have to perform. So this is how they indirectly they were saying that how hard-hearted Krishna is, and he is such a great renouncer that he has renounced his own parents as well. And as they were discussing like this, the one gopi in the group, which is Bhagavatam describes that as a special gopi, she leaves, she starts speaking to the bumblebee that was present in front of her. So Agni Puran gives a verse in which it is stated that actually that is Srimati Radharani, and she started expressing her Mahabhav features about this Supreme Lord. So the conversation between Srimati Radharani and Bumblebee is considered as Chitra Jalpa, which is the talk based on madness of love. And then there are various categories of that Mahabhav that is mentioned over there. And then Srimati Radharani also starts accusing Krishna in a different ways. And as Uddhava was hearing her talks with bumblebees, as she starts saying that what kind of Kshatriya he is, and he just was hiding behind the trees and he killed the Wali. He was a Kshatriya, you should have boldly faced the Wali. Then Suparnakha, she was a woman, she came for satisfying her desires, and as a Kshatriya he should have done it, but what he did, he made her ugly, cut her off nose, cut her ears. At the same time, Wali, Bari Maharaj, he offered everything what he had to him, but still he tied him. So the Uddhava was very much surprised by looking at this extraordinary ecstasy that was mentioned by the Srimati Radharani. And some people say that actually Krishna came in the form of a bee to relish the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. And we find like this is the mood of Srimati Radharani, and that's what exactly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to relish it. So as Radharani was speaking to Uddhava in very inconsistent way, so similarly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was staying in Jagannath Puri during his last days, day and night he was completely absorbed in the ecstatic mood, is speaking in this way. So he would talk of full of jealousies or complete madness and neglect by Krishna. All those things were relished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his stay in Gambhira. And as we saw, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes would come into those feelings. In Adi Leela also we find that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting as a teacher, and one day he was in this highest form of relishing the Gopi Bhav. In that Gopi Bhav he was a bit angry on Krishna for neglecting them. And that time he was chanting Gopi's name, and that student comes and sees like, he's chanting Gopi's name, and he started advising that if you chant Krishna's name, you will get pious credits. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes angry that we don't chant holy name to acquire the pious credits. And then as he took the name of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in angry mood about Krishna, that he has abandoned us, he has not come to visit us. And the student took the name of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes angry on him, takes the sticks and starts running after him. And somehow or other, with great difficulty, the devotees pacify him. And then the student come along with other students and starts creating disturbance. And that time, what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? He closed down the schools and takes the sannyas. Because he could understand that ordinary people will not understand this mood. So if he takes sannyas, then at least people will respect him. So what Srila Prabhupada has taught us, what is the real way one can become liberated? As once he was asked, who is liberated? How one can become liberated? And Srila Prabhupada answered that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process, the Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Das Das Anudas. He said that this is the process by which one can be liberated from this material world. So explain, Gopi Bhartur means person who is maintaining the gopis. So he is a Gopijan Vallabh. And then Krishna knows how to please the gopis, and gopis also know how to please Krishna. And that's why he is Yashoda Nandan Vrajajana Ranjanam. He knows how to make Vrajavasis happy, and Vrajavasis knows how to make Krishna happy. And that is how Krishna is so attracted to the Vrajavasis, and Vrajavasis are completely attracted to Krishna and always thinking how they can give pleasure to Krishna, how they can make such an elaborate arrangement to serve the Supreme Lord. They don't have that conception that He is the Supreme Lord. The intense love overpowers them, the divine aspect. And they go on making such an elaborate arrangements for serving Krishna. And if you read some literature, that it's such a minute details the Krishna is served. Like if you say the incense to be offered to Krishna, so different seasons the different kinds of incense will be offered, and that there is a list of at least 20-30 items by which you can make one incense stick. So it's not like you go to the market, purchase the ready-made incense stick and offer it to Krishna. That's what we do today. But previously, the gopis, they would make incense sticks, and they had complete understanding of the seasons, the nature of different herbs, what season, what is beneficial. And that's how for each different seasons, a different kind of fragrance was given for the flowers also. We have one flower for whole day, but they have as per the different dresses, the different kinds of flowers will be offered into it. So varieties of garlands the Krishna will keep on wearing as per the pastimes. It's just like we have this tagar flower. But what happens, it doesn't stay long once it's grown fully. So naturally you will find hardly anybody uses in ISKCON those kind of flowers. Because we want kind of flower who will stay all throughout the day. Because that's how our worship is limited. But previously you will find in ancient temples those kinds, many of those kinds of flowers are there, because they will keep on changing the garlands. So they don't have to think, choose only those flowers who will stay for whole day long. And that's how the varieties of garlands were offered to Krishna. And then what kind of a dress. And if different days, the different colors of the dress were chosen. So very minutely Krishna was served by the Vrajavasis. How each and everything should give pleasure to him. We should not do something that will give little pain to Krishna or displeasure to Krishna. Because as the love is intense, that much more elaborately and minutely he will serve the Supreme Lord. And these are all these feelings of the gopis Uddhavas could understand. And that's how he knew what is the exalted position of the gopis. And that's how he praised that, that I would take the birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan. That we'll discuss in next day's lecture. Okay. Is there any question or comment? Yes.
Like you are mentioning about gopis, mentioning that how in ordinary affairs people cannot forget parents, and they were accusing Krishna that he's so renounced that he could forget also. So from like ordinary perspective, I am asking like, what was the reason like Lord Krishna not returning to Vrindavan and again meet parents? So though I have heard one reason that it increases the bliss, but from the dharmic point of view, being a king and being an example in the society, what could be other reason?
So what happens is, usually we try to see these pastimes through our understanding. The dharmic rules, who made? We only made that. Or that is our understanding, or understanding of some people of that they made these kinds of rules. So that's a set of the rules that the common person is supposed to follow. So one thing is that you don't follow any rules and regulations. Second step is like you follow at least some rules and regulations. And then the topic that we are discussing is at the very highest at the spiritual level. So what was the this thing? The first part of Krishna's life is spent with the gopis in Vrindavan. And they were actually could participate personally in his pastimes. So they derived one particular type of pleasure in that. Afterwards Krishna wanted another kind of pleasure. And that's why he separated himself from the gopis. And this kinds of when gopis would meet Krishna, they would enjoy in certain way. And gopis are separation from the Krishna, they are enjoying it in different way. So now our conception is pain and pleasure. So our mundane conception is if the son is away from father and mother, then father and mother are also suffering and son is also suffering. But when you see from transcendental point of view, the suffering is also pleasure. And that understanding can come only when you have a mercy of the acharyas. So we are trying to understand this divine pastime through our mundane vision. And our pleasure and pain concepts, we are applying it to that. And that's why you have failed to understand these things. And that's why nowadays people write so many books and so many theories about this, because they are trying to understand these pastimes from their mundane experience. But it can't be experienced from this viewpoint of view. And that's why Prabhupada would say, like, no, you just read these pastimes and relish it. And then follow this Gopi Bharatu Paradakumale or Das Das Anudas process. You will be qualified to understand. Because the literature, as I said, literature is available. Just by the literature, you will not experience those feelings. You need a qualification to experience that feelings. And that's why Prabhupada, like, whenever he was asked about these things, Prabhupada would say, like, you just follow this sadhana bhakti and one day all these things will be revealed to you. That is the process the Srila Prabhupada gave. So other people, they say, like, no, Prabhupada did not give the highest things and all those things. But actually, what was Prabhupada's way? Prabhupada said, you perform devotional service perfectly, do sadhana bhakti properly, and as you are qualified, it is Krishna's responsibility to give you this kind of things. So this is what Prabhupada has clearly mentioned, Rupa Goswami has clearly mentioned. So we follow this way. Okay. Yes.
Puji, addition to Jagannath Kripa Prabhu's question, like, of course, what you gave the answer, like, for devotees, we can understand and what Prabhupada said. But from a newcomer's perspective, when they hear Krishna's pastime, like some of the pastimes, like where Krishna is protecting his devotees, they feel faith, okay, we can put faith in the Lord. But some of these pastimes, many times people are completely bewildered. I'll tell you, recently there's a video which has been viral of one very famous Kathakar, Murari Bapu. So he's speaking that Krishna is speaking in the Gita that he is doing dharma samsthapanataya, but he cannot take care of his own Yadu dynasty. Everybody was drunkard. Everybody drunk and they killed each other. How can he speak when he cannot take care of his family members? So when such kind of things, remarks people, a general mass of people hear,
That is a statement. I got that video, I didn't open it.
And because of that, the other people...
Put a case on him. He's gone, put a case on him.
No, the general Sadhu Samaj has bahishkarred him. Aisa.
Really?
Officially, they have made a statement. Bahut bada news. Recent news. Murari Bapu ko bola ke abhi aap, matlab bahut sare jo devotee, Krishna devotees ne bola ke aapko abhi hum sadhu santo se ye karayenge. So he has made a statement like that. So I'm saying, when a normal person hears this, anyway they have no interest in Krishna. But how to give a logical and...
You see, this is what happens in Kali Yuga, these kinds of things will happen. Now, actually he was very famous and did nice katha. So we are surprised to hear, like, no, he spoke like this. So that means it's, we always have to understand, like, no, we should have a proper parampara and then we should take shelter of, like, no, association of the devotees. Then we may not be able to make such kinds of statement, and even if you make, they will correct us. But if you go to that position where nobody can correct us, actually that's a very dangerous position. Then any spiritual person can get into that situation where nobody is there for him to correct. That is the most dangerous thing, especially for a leader, that he is, nobody wants to correct him or he doesn't want to listen to anybody. And that happens. Let's hope that he retracts that statement and takes the, like, association of genuine sadhus and learn properly.
Material which was quoted out of context.
Yeah, that also could be there. Because nowadays, like, no, you just take the one or two statements and do whatever meaning you want to take it.
Yeah, it is quite possible because there are two, three famous Kathakas who speak on Bhagavatam. They have been alleged that they are speaking in Bhagavat Katha, they are speaking about Allah. So they have made some of that video and they have made it viral that these three people are, you know, anti-Hindus. Like that, maybe that's
propaganda. See, that there will be, like, one is pure Bhagavat line and another people will be not on that Bhagavat line, but they will follow like no more morality kind of things, and their debate will keep on going it. So basically, see, Vaishnava, the compassion, Vaishnava compassion, it's very difficult for other people to understand, because they think like no, they give so much of importance to motherland. That's fine, like no, we have respect for motherland, we have respect for our culture. But at the same time, we have to understand, like Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father. So Vaishnavas, you will see that their compassion is encompassing to the whole world. And they will be looking at that point of view. But person who is not at that level, he may not understand that. So people at different levels trying to fight with each other. And in Kali Yuga, plenty of those things will happen. One thing is like, now we have to be very careful while speaking, especially in media, because everything gets recorded, and then with technology you can manipulate anything. And that's why like the gopis took Uddhava to a secluded place, because they wanted to discuss these pastimes with the people having similar moods. Because they know, okay, they can't open up or discuss these things with anyone else. So we must know their audience, where we are speaking and what. And always then proper explanation has to be given. Somebody told me about that also, that respecting other religion. And then heavy criticism is coming from some people. So those kind of things, like in informal settings, we can speak, because those audience at that level can understand it. But you speak this in open public forum, then 90% of the people may not understand that kind of Vaishnava compassion. Now we talk of Vaishnava compassion in Bhagavad of Prahlad Maharaj, Vasudev Dutt, in Chaitanya Charita Amrut. How an ordinary person can understand those high elevated things and a deep compassion within the hearts? So if you speak at the audience who can't understand it, then a lot of misunderstandings is bound to come. So those who are giving public classes, you have to be very careful, because you are speaking to unknown audience. So where and who will listen, we don't know. So we can speak these topics, but then with proper elaborations. If you make it proper elaboration, then even if somebody has recorded, then you can understand like, no, I spoke this point, but before and after, if somebody hears the whole record, then he will understand the proper concept. Okay. So we'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.